This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and at the 88th Academy Awards on Sunday night, host Chris Rock and everyone there in the largely white audience will have some splaining to do. 2 years in a row of all-white acting nominees, very little acknowledgement of anyone else not white. How will the winners reference this controversy or avoid it altogether? Remember Sean Penn winning for playing the gay politician Harvey Milk back in 2009?
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
Rafer Guzman, our film critic and film critic for Newsday, looks back at the Oscar speeches that did it best.
Anyone who's given a toast at a wedding knows the best way is to be clear, be brief, and be gone. For years, those were pretty much the rules at the Academy Awards.
The thrill of this moment keeps me from saying what I really feel. I can only say thank you with all my heart to all who made this possible for me. Thank you.
Grace Kelly accepting her Oscar for The Country Girl in 1955. Back then, acceptance speeches were short, gracious, and never political. Even when Sidney Poitier became the first African-American to win as leading actor for Lilies of the Field in 1964, he opted for understatement.
Because it is a long journey to this moment, I am naturally indebted to countless numbers of people.
Poitier named a few people involved in the film, and that was it. But by the 1970s, the speeches started to sound a little different. Marlon Brando opted not to accept for his performance of The Godfather's Don Vito Corleone.
Hello, my name is Sasheen Littlefeather. I'm Apache, and I'm president of the National Native American Affirmative Image Committee. I'm representing Marlon Brando this evening, and he has asked me to tell you in a very long speech, which I cannot share with you presently, that he very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award. And the reasons for this being are the treatment of American Indians today by the film industry. Excuse me.
Overnight, Littlefeather's moment in 1973 became one of the most controversial in the history of the awards. 2 years later, a documentary filmmaker, Bert Schneider, spoke out on the Vietnam War.
It is ironic that we are here at a time just before Vietnam is about to be liberated. I will now read a short wire that I have been asked to read by the Vietnamese people.
That went over like a lead balloon with the show's host, Frank Sinatra. He came out and read a letter from the Academy, apologizing for those remarks. But that was nothing compared to the reception Vanessa Redgrave got in 1978, when she jumped into the Israel-Palestine issue.
And I pay tribute to you, and I think you should be very proud that in the last few weeks you've stood firm and you have refused to be intimidated by the threats of a small bunch of Zionist hoodlums whose behavior is an insult.
These days, we kind of expect an Oscar speech to address current affairs and political issues. When Michael Moore picked up an Academy Award in 2005 for his anti-Bush documentary Fahrenheit 9/11, you just knew it was coming.
We live in a time where we have fictitious election results that elects a fictitious president. We live in a time where we have a man sending us to war for fictitious reasons, whether it's the fictitious of duct tape or the fictitious of orange alerts. We are against this war, Mr. Bush. Shame on you, Mr. Bush. Shame on you.
Well, if the Iraq war seemed like a hot-button issue then, imagine what the topics of race and racism will do to this year's Oscar speeches. And here's a wrinkle. The Oscars are trying out something new called the Thank You Scroll. It's a list of names submitted in advance that will zip across the bottom of the screen. It's supposed to leave more time for the winners to say something else with their 45 seconds. And you can bet they will. If this weekend's Oscar winners are looking for a role model to follow, then my nomination for Best Speech would go to a silent star, Charlie Chaplin. He received an honorary Oscar in 1972 and finally spoke after a 12-minute standing ovation.
And words seem so futile, so feeble. I can only say thank you for the honor of inviting me here. Thank you.
Not reporting from the red carpet, this is Rafer Guzman for The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.